If you love all things gardening, why not join us at our Spring Fair from the 3rd to the 5th of May at Bewley in Hampshire? You'll find everything you need to kickstart the season. Find out more at bbcgardenersworldfair.com. See you there!
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It takes a lot of hard work to make it look easy. This Mother's Day, Duluth Trading Co. can help you give her something that keeps up. Whether you prefer to shop online or in-store, Duluth has a motherload of gear, goods, and gifts to keep her comfortable and capable, no matter what needs doing. With Duluth's problem-solving details and legendary durability to boot, you'll finally be mom's favorite again. Check out DuluthTrading.com for all your Mother's Day gifting needs.
Hello and welcome to the BBC Gardeners World magazine podcast, brought to you by the team here at the magazine. Join us as we chat all things gardening with the nation's favourite experts.
Hello and welcome to Gardeners Favourites, a new podcast series featuring Alan Titchmarsh, Kate Bradbury and the team here at Gardeners World magazine. In this special winter series, we'll share with you some of our winter highlights, guaranteed to beat the winter gloom, with options to get you outside enjoying your garden and recommendations for days when you want to curl up indoors. So sit back and enjoy as we share our favourites.
Hello, my name's Kate Bradbury, and I'm a garden writer and author specialising in wildlife gardening. I don't get many species of bird in my small urban plot, although the house sparrows, starlings, robins and goldfinches make me very happy indeed. Occasionally a blue tit or great tit will pass through, or I might see a wren or dunnock darting around beneath the hedge. I often feel sad when I see long-tailed tits or song thrushes passing overhead. Why won't they come in? But maybe they will one day, and I have plenty to be enjoying in the meantime. In spring and autumn I spot so-called passage migrants, which are migrant birds on their way to or from their African wintering grounds. These might include chiffchaffs, garden warblers and whitethroats. Last year I spent 3 days ogling a male black redstart bowling around on a neighbour's roof, while another neighbour told me she'd had a nightingale in her garden. I keep my binoculars at the back door so I can quickly investigate movements or behaviour I don't recognise. You really never know who's going to turn up. Winter is a good time to keep an eye out for interesting birds in the garden, as natural sources of food become scarce when the ground freezes, while local berries may be in short supply. On top of this, winter day lengths are short, so desperate birds often turn up to garden feeders to snatch a few calories before the nights draw in, even if gardens aren't really their thing. Goldcrests and firecrests join gangs of tits and they rove together in search of food, landing in trees and inspecting every fissure and leaf joint for a morsel, such as a moth egg stuck to a branch. Finches tend to flock together in winter too, while the starlings and house sparrows are never without their friends. I love watching the starlings and house sparrows descend on the garden. They arrive like a big mob. The starlings dress for work in their shiny suits, strutting around confidently in search of grubs and other invertebrates. They poke through frosted foliage and tufts of grass to find hibernating caterpillars and peck at the soil for leather jackets, the larvae of the daddy longlegs. They climb my ivy and rowan tree and dig out sleeping snails, which they then carry to next door's flat roof and bash the living daylights out of before swallowing whole the fleshy part they so desired. My neighbour's flat roof is something of a snail cemetery in winter, which is sad but oddly satisfying for this gardener. The sparrows are more delicate than the starlings, but only just. They crowd around the feeder and fight each other for sunflower hearts, and then they crowd around the birdbath and fight each other for a drink. They seem to have no concept of queuing or waiting their turn, or of doing something sensible like visiting the feeder while the others take a bath, and vice versa. House sparrows make me laugh a lot. I love having them in the garden. They're expert aphid eaters too, and on mild days they never give up looking for greenfly on my roses, which again is very satisfying to watch. Blackbirds tend to stay away from the garden in summer, but they come in quite regularly in winter. They start with my rowan tree, gobbling down its juicy berries, and then move on to the hawthorn if the robins give them half a chance. I leave scraps of food for them on the ground at the back of the garden, and make sure the lower of the two bird baths has plenty of water for drinking and bathing. One of the blackbirds has a white patch on his wing, so is easy to identify. He seems shyer than the other birds, so I watch respectfully from the kitchen window as he hops among the borders, turning leaves to find earthworms and other invertebrates, and tucking into the seed I've left out for him too. The wrens keep themselves to themselves, skulking around the log pile or beneath the hedge, darting here and there for a morsel of food or a quick drink from the birdbath. At dawn, when the kettle boils for tea, I might hear the stuttering of beautiful birdsong in the half-light. So even if I can't see my winter wren, I can certainly hear it. It might seem early, but winter is the time when robins start to think about breeding. Look carefully and you might notice after the winter solstice, when day length starts to increase again by just a few seconds a day, the robins are pairing up. Suddenly my one robin becomes two. I might be pottering in the garden and hear the scratch of robin claws on the fence, and when I turn around there will be two sets of claws and two robins. They dart around the garden together, one going first and the other quickly following behind. Along with blackbirds, robins have bigger eyes than other birds, so they're able to see more clearly in the dark and half-light. I've caught them on my night cameras taking baths in the pond at dusk and dawn, while everyone else is asleep. The robins are also partial to a rowanberry and hawthorn haw, but I leave them to fight this out with the blackbirds. If I'm lucky, I'll get to see who wins. There's nothing like watching a bird gobble down berries from a tree you have planted.
Thanks for listening to the BBC Gardener's World magazine podcast. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts and never miss an episode. If you've enjoyed this episode, please tell others about it and rate us in your podcast provider app.